has resulted to the tragic loss of four of our paramedics.
But on the other side, Israel is still counting and finding bodies and the remnants of that Hamas attack across a fence that Israelis had believed was unbreakable. Correspondent Holly Williams is there.
One of the militants' motorbikes is still here, along with the stench of death.
Just behind me is the dead body of one of the militants, and it's been left here intentionally by the Israeli military.
Soldiers are here to guard the area from another attack and to clean up the carnage.
Israeli casualties are now estimated around 1,200, total casualties on both sides believed to be about 2,700. One nominee down, there is still no Speaker of the House. Congressman Steve Scalise of Louisiana did not have the 217 Republican votes he needed after being nominated by his fellow Republicans.
We still need to get a Speaker. And I'm going to continue to push as hard as we can to make that happen as quickly as it has to happen. But it wasn't going to happen.
So the U.S. House remains at something of a standstill. Two off-duty police officers were shot at Philadelphia International Airport Thursday night. One has died. The incident is believed to be an attempted robbery at the airport garage. Police did believe that the alleged shooter was at large. Meantime, in Minnesota, a shooting believed related to police drug enforcement. Benton County Sheriff Troy Heck.
Five members of the task force sustained non-life-threatening injuries and were transported by ambulance or air ambulance for medical treatment.
Federal regulators have reached a multi-million-dollar settlement with one of the big three credit bureaus.
TransUnion will pay $15 million to settle the claims by the Federal Trade Commission and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Most of that money will go to consumers who were harmed.
In sports, in baseball, and in the National League Division Series, the Braves are now gone. The Phillies advance. Gas prices $3.65 on average. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Some days, my active psoriatic arthritis makes it hard to get in the game. Now, the ball is in my court, thanks to treating my skin and joints with SKYRIZI, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults.
Nothing is everything.
SKYRIZI helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just four doses a year after two starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to SKYRIZI. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With SKYRIZI, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about SKYRIZI and visit SKYRIZI.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
James here, host of the new Sunrise Show on Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI. We're on the air live every weekday from 7 to 8 a.m. to start your day right with...
More Garth! More Reba! Winona!
Yeah, but also the National Day of Calendar.
Brooks and Dunn!
Country news.
Brooks and Dunn!
This day in country history and your requests, plus the country legends.
More Garth! More Reba!
That you know and love. It's coffee, conversation, and country. Every weekday from 7 to 8 on 105.5 WIRI, Wiscountry.
Winona.
I'm Nyheim Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care. And they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Scattered rain showers likely overnight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows around 45. East winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 49. Overcast skies. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 44. Cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 46.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Or whenever you want, from anywhere, for free.
Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry. Calvin is on the board. Carol Kane across from me in the studio.
Yep.
And joining us, as she does every Thursday, for our public cervix announcement, it's Dr. Kristen Lyerly. How are you, Kristen?
I'm great. Look at this crew. I'm so excited to dig in with you guys this morning.
Poor Calvin's like, there's so much estrogen, I can't breathe. And
that's okay, because that's what the segment is. We're going to focus on that.
This just jumped out at me when I saw this, Dr. Lyerly. Department of Health Services urges syphilis testing during pregnancy after a dramatic increase in congenital cases. That's from WPR. Syphilis?
Yeah. It's not just for the 19th century anymore, friend.
Wow.
Yeah, actually, the rates have been rising a lot, and we started doing more testing, gosh, at least 5 years ago. So what we've seen in the last 5 years is that the cases of congenital syphilis, this is syphilis that is acquired during pregnancy and is passed on to the fetus or the newborn, the cases have risen from 2 in 2019 to 29.
Wow.
Recently. Yeah, it's a ridiculous number. And part of it is, we think, related to the pandemic, because people hadn't been getting tested. So without the testing, these symptoms can be very subtle. People might not even suspect that they have it. You know, like with chlamydia or gonorrhea, you're talking about discharge and itching and pain and all of that. With syphilis, it can be really insidious. So testing is critical.
So what are the ramifications to the fetus?
40% chance of death.
Really?
Yeah, blindness, hearing problems. I mean, the ramifications for adults are really serious. So it often starts, there are a couple different stages. It often starts with just like a painless little, almost like a canker sore, but it doesn't hurt. And it typically goes away on its own after a few weeks. And then a rash might come back. And it's not a strong rash often. It can be pretty subtle, not itchy, but it goes away. But then there's the potential that it can reemerge for adults later in life as eye problems, hearing problems, dementia, heart disease. It can be really, really awful. And as a matter of fact, one of my friends, her mother was diagnosed with dementia, and they tied it back to syphilis that she had probably gotten decades earlier and didn't even have a clue about.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's disturbing.
If we catch it early, it's very disturbing. But if we catch it early, it's very treatable with penicillin, of all things. So this is one of those things that, for me as an obstetrician gynecologist, I definitely want to make sure that we are screening our patients. They are coming in. We're seeing them regularly. So we're starting to test them 3 times during pregnancy.
Is this
But for all of us, yeah, we need to be tested. We need to
be screened.
Is it
just like a simple blood test? How do you test?
Blood test.
Okay.
And how is syphilis transmitted?
Sexually transmitted.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you could have gotten this from a sexual experience 25 years ago.
Yes.
And so is this, I go in for my annual, they take blood. Is this something that they test for? Do I have to ask for this?
So hopefully the conversation that you're having with your doctor during your preventive exam is, it also includes your sexual habits. So do you have a number of different partners. What kind of partners do you have? It's commonly seen in the population of gay men and men who have sex with men. So that's really where we're seeing a lot of this. But people are, you know, there's a lot of mingling happening. So if you are having unprotected sex, or if your partner is having unprotected sex with other people, you just can't be too safe. And this is a simple blood test that you can get. Okay. And sometimes it's just kind of nice to get it just so that you know, hey, I'm good.
I was just going to ask that, and you just answered my question, because I was going to say, how can we stop the transmission of it? And I would think that it would have to, and it's got to be the guy, right? The guy's got to wear what he's got to wear, right?
Well, I mean, it's all of us. It doesn't necessarily have to be transmitted by penile vaginal intercourse. It can be oral sex. It can be anal sex.
Oh, wow.
Condoms definitely help. Condoms definitely help. But I mean, this can involve other things touching other things. So really, it all comes down, just like with all the other sexually transmitted infections, it comes down to partner selection and talking to your partner about what your risk factors are and just being safe, and maybe even getting tested before you enter into a new relationship.
That's a really good idea.
These are such difficult conversations, though, for people, you know? I mean, I don't know how I would... First of all, this is the first time I've ever talked about syphilis on the radio, so this is a new one for me. But I don't know how you start, you know, that conversation. It's very difficult, and a lot of people just go, oh, I don't want to talk about it, don't want to talk about it.
But so, in this day and age, though, you have to. You almost have to, don't you, Dr. Lyerly?
I think if you are having sex, definitely with a new partner, I don't think it hurts to start this conversation. And, you know, we test our pregnant patients, even though they may be in committed relationships where they feel like there are no risk factors there, we still test them because sometimes you just don't know. And the consequences, if you've got undiagnosed syphilis or chlamydia or herpes or any number of other things, the consequences can be, I mean, death, truly death.
Yeah.
So let's just be safe and take care of each other and do the testing and, you know, be honest.
And two, if you can't have this conversation at the beginning of what you assume is going to be a long-term relationship, that's indicative of other problems, I think, coming down the road. If you can't, you have to be able to talk about hard things. You do.
Well, no,
difficult
you're right.
Things, you do. And if your potential partner is all squeamish about it and is like, oh, I'm fine, and, you know, don't worry about it, I'm clean, I'm perfect, whatever, then that should maybe send a little warning flag up, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So do you anticipate that this may come to fruition in the state of Wisconsin relatively soon? Like, will the testing be required relatively soon?
So there is not a state mandate in Wisconsin to do this testing like there is in most other states. But there are recommendations within our medical societies that suggest that we should test pregnant people 3 times during their pregnancies. So that is those are the rules that we generally follow as healthcare practitioners.
But I'm curious, why is Wisconsin an outlier then?
Wisconsin, the state where we care about mothers and babies so much that we're not expanding Medicaid and not providing proper support for child care providers and people who are seeking child care. I don't know, Jane. You tell me.
You're right. I am a silly, silly human being and just a silly person. Our guest is Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She joins us every Thursday from 11 to 11:30 for public cervix announcement. If you ever have questions, you can call, you can text at 844-967-2789. You could be anonymous if you want.
Okay.
If you have what some might consider an embarrassing question, you can always email us too at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us.
Let me ask you, doctor, because now I'm supremely interested. I mean, supremely curious. Can you get pregnant if you have one of these diseases? Can you still get pregnant? Okay.
Yes, you can. It may be less likely depending on where you're at in the disease process. So if there's inflammation or, you know, if sex is painful, like there are a lot of things that might make it a little bit harder to get pregnant. But yes, 100%, you can get pregnant if you have one of these diseases. And depending on which of the sexually transmitted infections we're talking about, the consequences can be very different, but often they're dire for your offspring.
I'll be darned. This is news to me.
Well,
I mean, because I had two children and I know I was never tested. I can guarantee you that I probably was not tested, but that was 34 and 30 years ago. You know,
it's really hard for us as doctors. I think when somebody comes in, like, you know, you come in with your husband and you're this, you know, happy, perfect family. And then I say to my patient, these are the tests we're going to do for you. And I say, we're going to test you for gonorrhea and chlamydia because that's the test that I do for all of my patients. And my patients inevitably say, I don't need that test. But some of them come back with positive test results.
Wow.
And they truly do have. Yeah, I mean, this just happens. So, you know, let's just set all of the feelings aside and treat the problem so that we can ensure that you have a great outcome. And then, you know, the stuff that goes along with the all of those crazy feelings, we've got to deal with that too.
Yeah.
That's a whole other aspect. But, you know, the most important thing is that we treat that infection so that we have healthy babies.
Yeah, you don't want to be all judgy about that, right? Because that's just going to prevent people right. from getting tested, and that is going to continue to perpetuate the problem.
Oh, for sure. And if you feel like your healthcare provider is judging you because of sexually transmitted infections, you need to find a new healthcare provider.
We've talked about this before, and I think especially for women, it's very difficult to end a relationship. We can't break up with our hairstylist, for heaven's sakes, much less our gynecologists
right.
and or our doctors. But like you said, if your doctor is refusing to give you a test that you ask for, if your doctor is refusing to talk to you about a procedure that you want to pursue, right, Dr. Lyerly, you should talk to somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, ask why, you know, advocate for yourself. And if you're not getting the answers that you want, find another doctor. And this just isn't for women. This is for all of us.
Yes.
You know, men with erectile dysfunction, that has a huge impact on your psychological health. Some people are really bothered by this. You deserve to see a practitioner who is going to explain the situation to you, do the proper workup, not just prescribe a pill, but do the proper workup and make sure that you get the treatment that you need and deserve.
Are we looking at, I know we're coming up on the break, but do we have one age group that seems to be registering with these diseases over another? I guess I'm addressing some of these very young girls that get pregnant. Do you see rising rates there too?
We do. It tends to be more common in women who are 25 and younger.
Got it.
That's really a higher risk group. So I always offer STI testing in that population. But hey, turning 26 doesn't mean that you're home free. I mean, many, many women beyond that, and women later in life also.
I was
in their 40s.
I was gonna go for the villages in Florida, but that's just how I'm thinking. All right,
yes.
We're coming up against the break. We will be back with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and our public cervix announcement right after this. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Scat.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Calvin is on the board. And every Thursday, we do our public cervix announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And we're talking about syphilis because it's important. It is.
It's a growing problem. It is a public health crisis.
Yeah. And the recommendation anyway, Dr. Lyerly, that women get to, at least your patients, you test them 3 times over the course of their pregnancy for syphilis because of the very serious potential ramifications, right?
Absolutely. We test them when they first come in the middle of their pregnancy and when they come in to deliver, because if their baby is affected by syphilis, I mean, it affects them as people too. It affects anybody who has syphilis, but if their baby is infected, it is critically important that we treat them in order to save their baby's life.
Okay, I got another weird question for you. And please don't be offended by this, but it's just the way my mind works. Is there a racial component that comes into play when it comes to the higher numbers? Do you have an idea as to what our socioeconomic kind of situation that has more higher numbers than others?
We definitely see more of these cases in our BIPOC community. And in fact, when I work on the Navajo Reservation in northern Arizona, you wouldn't believe the numbers there. They have the highest numbers in the country. It is so prevalent that when you drive into the city where the hospital is, there are big signs that say, get tested for syphilis. And anybody who comes into the hospital, they offer a syphilis test. They have condoms at the check-in stations. They are very out there about testing for this disease, because it's like they've taken away the stigma of it being a sexually transmitted infection, and now it's just a public health issue that affects you in so many different ways.
Well, and that's got to be helpful. Again, taking away the shame of it, because no one wants to go in with their head hanging low, you know, I caught this disease because I was fooling around, and then no one's going to get tested, and that's just going to make things worse. We do have a couple of texts listening in Green Bay from the 920. I've always liked the sentiment, if you aren't comfortable talking about sex, you shouldn't be having sex.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Yes. You have to be able to discuss. If you can do the deed, you can talk about the deed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've been married for so long that I'm trying to remember, and I don't know if we actually did have this conversation back in 1982.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
I love how you're holding up your hand like you're demonstrating, like, it's true. I have been married. These are my credentials. But, you know, marriage is not a safeguard.
No.
There are plenty of people who step outside of their marriage. So, and I'm not suggesting that your partner is cheating on you, but I'm saying, you know, regardless, we all have to take care of ourselves and make decisions for our own personal individualized health. And some of these decisions can be really sensitive and difficult and require more than just a medical decision, but also need that psychological piece and the social piece.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY if you want to check in, if you want to ask Dr. Lively a question. Wes from Middleton checking in, listening in Madison. The problem is those on the right specifically have poisoned the well, so to speak, and really broken the trust in healthcare providers and other medical experts. I fear there will be no political appetite in our legislature for any mandatory testing for syphilis. We can't even convince parents to give their kids vaccines, no matter how much sense it makes.
Yeah, that is true, Wes, and I am very concerned about that. But as a medical community, we are doing everything that we can through our professional organizations to get the word out, to educate each other, and to work together collaboratively in teams. So I think that there is a way to get beyond this. And let's not forget that we can elect a different legislature. So go, fall 2024.
Voting is important. And it's remarkable how that trickles all the way through so many aspects of our life.
When people say to me, I don't do politics, I know, I get it. It's hard. But politics sure are doing us.
Yes, politics sure are doing us. Wow.
Yeah, and they're giving us things like syphilis and chlamydia and herpes. So,
well, and just the whole... I remain so distressed by the way when the pandemic began and people were standing on their balconies cheering all our healthcare workers and applauding them at their end of their shifts with pots and pans and the remarkable turnaround that happened by the end when we're still not over the pandemic, but the complete 180 with how we started treating the people in our medical profession. It's tragic. It's tragic.
It is. I was in Washington, D.C. last weekend with a bunch of my colleagues from across the country, people who are very involved in advocacy work. And one of the major topics we talked about was harassment and how we as physicians, especially those of us who do reproductive health care, how we get harassed by people on a regular basis, doctors, nurses, the people who we work with, and how difficult it makes it for us to provide care and for our patients to seek care. The chilling effect is...
It's real.
It's just so, it's real and it's stifling and it's painful, but we have to bust through that. And that's one of the reasons that we're doing this show, is to get this information out there and to encourage you to call us, ask questions, engage, have these hard conversations with each other and seek out the information that you need.
Cindy from Appleton is on the phone. Cindy, real quick, we got about a minute and a half left. What do you want to say?
Well, I have a couple, one question, a comment. First question is, what brought this resurgence on, if you have an idea? And second of all, especially with the BIPOC community, wouldn't it be awesome to have health care for all so that people that are underserved with financially can get service like this that they need?
Yeah, you're so right. Cindy, thank you so much for calling. She's
absolutely
not wrong. She's not wrong.
No, not at all. I forgot what question one was. I got so busy thinking about question two.
This resurgence and what led to this resurgence. Unfortunately, we're going to have to hold that until next week. Thank you so much, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. It's always wonderful talking to you. If you ever have a question, you can text it in. You can email it as well to asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us or shoot us a text at 844-967-2789. Public cervix announcement, Dr. Lyerly. We will talk to you next Thursday. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Syphilis part two next week.
All right. Stay close. Up next, a complete 180, J.R. Radcliffe here to talk sports.
Yay.
Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in 1,000 pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help.
Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything, helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people, a neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Scattered rain showers likely, overnight, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Lows around 45, east winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Scattered rain showers likely, tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 49, overcast skies. Scattered rain showers likely, tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 44, cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 46.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry. Calvin is on the board. Carol Kane across from me in the studio. And joining us now, he is the trending sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and our friend J.R. Radcliffe. Hi, J.R. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing quite well. How are you doing?
Good, good,
fine.
Good.
Well, fine.
We're going to start with the Packers.
Ew. Okay. I suppose we can do that. I don't know where else to go. Like, it's not like sports are you know, Bucks are going to start soon, but there's nothing really like exciting right now with where we are in Wisconsin sports.
Okay, so tell me what the problem is with the O-line with the Packers. What's going on?
I wish it were just the O-line, but the O-line is hurt. They're obviously missing David Bakhtiari, Elgton Jenkins, who is a Wolverine, but he's coming off an injury coming back, and they got a couple. Zach Thomas, very good. He also got a little dinged up, but he's very good. They've got a couple other, smaller injuries. Royce Newman probably, I don't know if he can start in the NFL. And, Jordan Love just hasn't been that good. Like the Raiders, a team that's very bad, really, and we're missing quite a few players, were able to take away the things that I think Jordan Love does do well and forced him to try to make some plays down the field, and he just can't do that yet. So, I don't know. It's kind of I don't want to say across the board failure because everyone knew this offense would be super young and they
right.
have some growing pains. But oh man, the offense looks really, really bad. And honestly, it's definitely a harbinger of things to come. Like I don't think it gets markedly better overnight or anything. They had 10 days to prepare for the Raiders, who again are quite bad, and they were not able to rack up points against them. So I'd be a little concerned that the Packers are just going to be like this the rest of the year.
I got to be honest with you, and I know that this is probably not a very it's not an opinion that a lot of people have, but in all honesty, Gia, I'd be happy with a 50-50 season with this brand new quarterback. Seriously. Everybody says we're going to go to the Super Bowl right away, but if you can even give me a 50-50 season, I think that's a win.
I mean, I think a lot of people coming into the year, that would be good. I mean, they can't finish right at 500, but like 8-9 would be fine, or, anything that shows that they could take a step forward after this year, I think people would be happy with. But I don't know if I don't know if they're going to get to that. And second of all, you're kind of in a middle ground then. You're not low enough where you're getting a good draft pick and not good enough to compete for the playoffs. So it's hard to really root for that. I do think, though, if by the end of the year, Jordan Love is making improvements. The offense looks better. I think at some point you're going to find that I think people will be okay with that, because at some point here in the next few weeks, I think we're all going to come to terms with the fact this is not going to end in the playoffs, most likely.
Most likely. But I'm curious too, JR, what do you believe are Jordan Love's strengths?
I don't know yet, and I don't want that to sound like an indictment, because I do think he could be fine. He could be okay, but I think he is capable of running. He's capable of running a pretty vanilla offense at this point. He has been sort of a good soldier and listens to Matt LaFleur, and that was kind of, I think, the appeal for this coaching staff, was to have a quarterback who wasn't maybe a little more headstrong like Aaron Rodgers and was able to sort of implement the things that they wanted. So far, I don't know if that marriage is necessarily yielding results. We're not seeing, this system, this coaching setup, it's not yielding anything. They're not able to move the ball. They're not able to move the ball effectively except in a couple scramble situations. I do think he runs pretty well. He's not a blazer by any means, but he's a bigger bodied guy. I think he has shown that he can extend plays a little bit and gain yards where necessary. So that's not necessarily a strength you want to rely on, because that's how quarterbacks get hurt over the course of time, I would say. But for the most part, he does show the ability that way too. I do think you're going to find him taking, he probably also needs to reel in some of his deep shots are just really bad. He's just got to get better accuracy wise down the field. If that doesn't happen, I don't know if anything else really matters. He has to be able to beat guys down the field with really good throws. He's made a couple flash ones, but I don't know if we're seeing that regularly where you can say, okay, I see now where this guy is going to be awesome in a couple years.
Okay, we're going to get to the Brewers in a minute and talk about the skipper and if he's going to be sticking around. But my question for you is about the Bucs right now. How are the changes at the front of the Bucs? How is that going to affect the locker room? Is that going to cause a problem?
Oh, I don't think so, no. I mean, Damian Lillard, he's 33 years old. He's been around a long time. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's that kind of caliber of player and still very much capable of making major impact. I think losing Drew Holiday is a loss for sure. That's a guy who is deeply respected here by everyone. I mean, he was great off the court. He's a phenomenal teammate, won teammate of the year a couple times. There's actually an award for that, and was tremendous defensively and was fine offensively for the most part in the regular season. So, losing him is a loss. That's a setback. But Damian Lillard coming in is going to be very seamless, especially I think you're going to find that Lillard and Giannis working together is going to yield a lot of success for both guys. So I don't foresee anything like that. I think there will be some questions around the defense, and I think ultimately it's going to be a question for later on in the season. Just can they beat the Boston Celtics? I mean, are they truly one of the three best teams in the NBA? Because that's kind of the bar they've set for themselves, and also kind of, I think, what the expectations are. The Milwaukee Bucks regular season doesn't really matter. They're going to go to the playoffs, even if they're a 4 seed or a 5 seed. They were down there when they went and ended up winning the championship. I don't think anybody really cares where they fall, because we know they're going there. So then it becomes, can they match up in a 7-game series with the other elite teams in the league? That is something we're going to have to find out as the season goes on. I think so, but we're going to have to see that in action.
That's what I was going to ask you. If you really thought that seriously we were going to be able to make a run for it, just because of the fact that we were so disappointed last year with how the season ended.
Yeah, that was a really crushing finish. And part of it was just simply not being able to generate offense. The Heat had a game plan to take away Giannis. And other teams have done this. This is not a new thing. But it's a situation where they just needed to upgrade the offense. Their defense has always been beyond reproach, and it's still very, very good in many circumstances. Interior defense is still as good as any team in the league with Brook Lopez and Giannis. But they need somebody who can, like, fill up the scoreboard. And with Damian Lillard, it doesn't get any better than that. That is somebody who is capable of doing that from anywhere once he crosses midcourt. So they've added that element specifically knowing that was what was missing last year.
Our guest is J.R. Radcliffe. He's the trending sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about the Bucks. Is there any worry about rivalry within the team between Giannis and Dame?
I mean, they haven't been teammates long enough, I'd say, to maybe come up with anything like that. No, they do completely different things. I mean, they're complementary in every imaginable way. I think a friend of mine, Bart Winkler, put it succinctly and did so in a very colorful way. But what his point was, Giannis is just so good, but in the playoffs, teams can figure out how to stop him. They just put bodies in the way. That's all it is, like getting in the way. Dame Lillard is so good, but they know that nobody for Portland was able to do what Giannis could do. So they just send three guys after him and hound him, and they don't let him get free. They don't let him get shots because no one on the back end is going to make them pay. Well, now both guys have that compliment. I mean, they could not be more suited to be teammates on a very effective offense. So when those two guys get humming, and we're going to see it early on, you know, a lot of people are excited this weekend. They're going to play in a preseason game. They'll hit the court together for the first time. We're going to see it. It's going to get you excited because there's going to be some really big moments and big games for the Bucks this year.
Okay, so we got a big game coming up on Saturday. The Badgers are taking on the Hawkeyes. What do we need to do to win this game?
Just score any points because it's going to be a low-scoring game. It's going to be really bad weather, I think.
The weather looks terrible.
Yeah.
It does.
And Iowa's known for its defense. It's not maybe the elite level it's been in the last couple of years, but still very, very good. They have a quarterback, Iowa does, named Deacon Hill. He was with the Badgers the last few years. He was kind of buried on the depth chart. Cannon of an arm, not great accuracy-wise, and probably still developing. And Iowa is just in a really bad situation with their quarterback, Cade McNamara, tearing his ACL out for the year. Deacon Hill probably in a perfect world would not be starting yet for anybody. So he only completed six passes last week, none of them to a wide receiver. So the Badgers should be able to hold this team. You know, their defense should be able to hold this team, but they have to score themselves. And they have not clicked yet. They've had some really nice flashes. They've had some good running performances. Tanner Mordecai, I think, is pretty good as a quarterback. I think he's shown that he can run the ball too. So they need to score, like, you know, 20 points should probably do it. And if they can do that much, they will. This is a huge, huge matchup for the division. I really think the winner of this game is going to win the division. So it's a super important game and one that the Badgers should get. They should be able to win, but it's just never easy with Iowa.
All right, well, go Bucky, right?
Yeah, no kidding. Mm-hmm. And I have said this so many times, and if you're able to score tickets, I don't care if the weather's crappy. If you have never experienced a Badger game, you have never experienced life. It is beyond fun. Don't you agree?
I prefer it from the confines of the press box where I'm not getting rained on, to be quite honest. So Camp Randall Stadium is definitely an experience. It is, you know, high school football games are there as well. There's just tons of history there. It is a lot of fun. And right now the Badgers are interesting still. I know that they took an early season loss, but they're still very interesting. And I know there's a lot of fascination with how this unfolds.
We're talking to J.R. Radcliffe, trending sports reporter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Disappointing end of the season for the Brewers, understatement. What's going to happen with Craig Counsell?
Yeah, I don't know yet. And there was a little bit of press availability on Tuesday when general manager Matt Arnold met with the media. No timetable was given. That's not really a surprise. I think it's, you know, I've always been operating under the assumption that he is not coming back. It just seems to me that probably he's just ready for a break. And I don't think that necessarily means he's going to go to another team. I think it just means that he's got a lot has been made about his two sons who are now playing Big Ten baseball. He'd be able to go watch them. He'd be able to relax a little bit. He came from a front office position before he became manager in 2015. I personally think it's highly possible that he go back to that capacity where he isn't, you know, it's not a demanding job hours wise in terms of physically being there. And he could still be part of the franchise and still have a really big impact. I'd be willing to be wrong. I mean, that's just my interpretation, the vibes I feel around it. It doesn't, you know, he's been very close to the vest about it. And Brewers fans are freaking out a little bit because of the New York Mets situation. David Stearns is president of baseball ops there. He obviously worked with Counsell for many years. A lot of people are worried because there's a managerial opening that Craig Counsell would take that. I don't personally see it, but I don't know. I mean, that would be a really, I'm sure it'd be a nice jump up in money for him. And I feel like he's still really rooted here and really loves it here. It's just a matter of, you know, like maybe just needing a little bit of a break.
Okay, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Are we going to lose this team if they don't get the funding?
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't. The short answer is I do not foresee that happening at all. I just can't imagine it happening for a number of reasons. I think, you know, this is a very complicated issue. I think it will get done governmentally. You do have some sort of bipartisan support. It's just a matter of specifics and details and who gets the credit and things like that. So I think you'll find that, you know, a lot of nobody wants to be the government agent responsible for letting a team walk out of the state of Wisconsin. So I don't think it's going to I think someone's gonna have to pay for it, but it's going to get done. I also think Major League Baseball wants to stay in business in Milwaukee. I keep coming back to that. there's good fan support here, despite the market size. It's always middle of the pack for attendance. There's a lot of embrace of the Milwaukee Brewers, and you move to a new city that isn't as lucrative for Major League Baseball as it would be if they expanded to a new city. So just the economics of baseball, the way that works, they're going to prefer that they expand before they relocate anybody. Tampa Bay is getting a new stadium. If Tampa Bay, who has nobody, if they're not relocating, then I just don't think the Milwaukee Brewers are relocating. That's the big picture. I mean, there's a lot of different reasons to feel one way or the other. It's always on the table. An owner could do that. But it would require a lot of hoops, and I just don't see that happening.
One real quick last question, JR. We only have a couple minutes left. Did you happen to see Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee challenging Travis Kelce and Dr. Fauci to debate Aaron Rodgers and RFK Jr.?
I did.
Is he just the most delicate snowflake who can't stand not being the center of attention? Honestly to goodness.
I do think he loves the spotlight. I do think that informs many of his decisions and how he chooses to present himself. Part of me is kind of like, being in this business, I'm happy to reap the content benefits of Aaron Rodgers being out there in the world speaking, because inevitably that will create content for us.
Right.
And then, of course, the other half of me is like, can you just go?
Stop.
Yeah. We tried the Jets thing, and I'm sorry. It's really a bummer, honestly. What happened is really a bummer. But, like, can you go?
It is a bummer, and nobody wanted to see his season come to an end that or see this be his career ender. But then you come out and say stupid things like that. And it's like, stuff happens. All right, J.R. Radcliffe, the trending sports reporter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Always appreciate your time. We will see you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Sounds good. See you then.
And stay close. Coming up, cows. In the backyard. Look out, they might be coming for you. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Off around 55. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matt there in for Kristen Bry. Calvin is on the board. Harold Kane across from me in the studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always call, text 844-967-2789. Show flew by.
Right.
Just flew by today.
Yeah. The first segment was really compelling, you know, talking about the representative from Wisconsin and his outburst. And, you know, that spurs people to get involved and they want to talk about it. And that took the whole hour. So,
well, and there's one text that I wanted to share. We were referring to Derek Van Orden and his alleged bad behavior that was witnessed yesterday when the congressmen were getting a briefing from the Biden administration on the Hamas attack against Israel. And there was speculation about maybe he's hitting the sauce a little bit too much. But texter from 262 says, speaking of hitting the sauce, I feel like a show with Jane and Carol after they've had a mimosa and are starting on their second one would be golden.
Trust me, Jane and I have cocktailed before. You have no idea what you're asking.
We can change the world, Carol. We would change the world.
Exactly. Well, speaking of changing the world, you know, I relayed the story of opening the door with my dog Beauregard and a herd of deer, and he's howling. He's always on a leash, and they're running and stamping it across. And I took everything I could to possibly try and control him because he's a very, very strong dog. But this made me laugh out loud coming out of the city of Port Washington, and I had to share it with you because I thought it would be fun just to end the show with. And it happened on Wednesday, and this guy, Brian McGarry, said he's joking with the neighbor, and all of a sudden he's outside grilling a hamburger. So maybe they took umbrage with that. He's outside. This herd of cows escaped a dairy farm and infiltrated this neighborhood.
Oh my gosh.
And they apparently, there was quite a vertical drop. So to get into the neighborhood, they had to like stampede down. Can you imagine?
No. No. A herd of cows stampeding down a hill in your backyard?
Yeah.
No.
Well, and this person who tried to step in to help, which is, you're taking your own life in your hands, because I've worked with cows before. She said it was like the running of the bulls in Pamplona. Because they're so strong. You cannot, and don't take umbrage if you're a dairy farmer. I know dairy farmers, and they make a great living, but cows are not the brightest bulbs in the drawer.
I don't know that there are dairy farmers who would disagree with you on
that. They estimated that there were probably 3 to 4 dozen of these Holsteins just running. Yeah, a lot of them.
Wow.
A lot of them.
That's, yeah, it's more than just 2 wandering around someone's neighborhood.
Yeah, and then this woman said, we were trying to help prevent them from getting hurt. Fair enough.
But how do you do that? I mean, are you putting yourself in front of the cows going, stop, cows. Go turn the other way.
I would think that I would have to call. You try and contain them so that they don't wander off. Like you lose one and it goes off and gets hit, you know, hits in the neighborhood or heads out to the freeway or something like that. But they kind of they kind of got in and tried to contain them by getting them in, rounding them up. It was city slickers.
I know. Well,
rounding them up.
Right. Wait, like, who's got the biggest fenced-in yard? Louie, we're coming over with the cows.
But I just found it so charming, and they were talking about the cow pies all over the place, and I'm like, well, and the one woman says they were big cow. Well, their cows are big animals.
Yes, they are.
So, yeah, I just thought that was so charming, and they finally did wrangle them up and get them back to the farm. But I would think you probably have to make sure you got a hold of the farmer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and say, what do we do with it? You guys got to come with the truck, man.
For sure. Unless you're going to ride them back individually, which I would imagine would take quite a while.
And you'd again, be surprised how fast they could run.
Well, and because you worked with cows when you were going to veterinary school.
Right. I was at Madison, and I had to take care of a cow and a pig and a horse at the barns because I was taking a meat and animal science course.
Okay.
And in addition to that, and I'm not going to get into great detail, but I had to go out to ABS, which is the American Breeder Service, which is right outside of Madison.
Okay.
And I had to watch them take samples from a Kianina bull.
Uh-huh.
And a Kianina bull is as big as they come. And the guy who was collecting the sample, I wouldn't want that job. There's not enough money in the world. And here I am. I'm a 17-year-old girl from Beloit, Wisconsin. City kid. And I'm standing there thinking, wow, that's hard to measure up to.
In so many ways. In so many different ways.
But the cows are fine. They wrangled them up. But it was just, that image of looking out your back window and having four dozen cows.
Yeah.
Running down into your backyard. It's got to be hilarious.
Well, and with what they left behind, can you put that in your garden as fertilizer?
Oh, God, yes.
So yeah. that would be one way to
in all honesty,
recycle, I suppose.
I would, and people are grossed out when I say stuff like this, but I would have gotten Lou out on his lawnmower and said, just spread it around. Spread it around. We need the fertilizer.
We need the nutrients.
Yes, exactly. So that happened in Port Washington on Wednesday, and I just thought it was a charming story. So we've got flamingos in Lake Michigan.
Yes, one of the last times you were here.
And cows in Port Washington.
Yep. Texter from the 414 says, I imagine all the dogs nearby were going crazy because they wanted to help herd them.
That would be my Sydney, because she's 2 herding breeds. So she'd get out there and try and, it's like, no, get in here.
Well, I can only hope that those people in that neighborhood took lots of pictures.
I think there's a video out there, to tell you the truth. One of the local TV stations has a video that the guy who was doing the hamburger.
Oh, well, he's grilling a hamburger and a stampede of cows comes over the hill. He's got to be thinking like, I'm a vegetarian. I've changed my mind. I take it back.
Yeah, and one of them's coming at him going, that's my Aunt Harriet.
Right. I know that, Patty. I'm related to that, Patty.
I got it.
Well, Carol is going to be back with me tomorrow.
Yes, I am.
For for our Friday edition. I'm very excited about that. We have a number of guests, including Tim McCormick from the Harley-Davidson Museum in Milwaukee. They have some really fun stuff coming up for October and as we head toward the holidays. So he will update us on that and many, many, many more things to come.
Friday the 13th.
We'll have some special stuff about that as well. Yep. Stay tuned for the news coming up next, followed by Town Call with William Walters. Thank you, Calvin. Thank you, Carol. Thank you to our guests. And thank you to all of you, first and foremost, for listening and for calling and for texting. Have a great day. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass. Eyes waiting. Started to wonder. Metamorphosis. Loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
It's also worth mentioning that Google has basically become a monopoly of the search engines.
We've never seen this before, where a company is just kind of like owning it. And like, yeah, we are, but what are you going to do?
That's no defense, by the way.
No.
You got nothing then.
What are they paying their attorneys? Hey, Google, search engine, how to find a good attorney.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
Since the moment you were born, I've made 1,000 wishes. Wishes for your future, in a world that's changing fast. For all of the things you may one day do play, and laugh. Do win and lose. Do learn from your mistakes. And challenge yourself to grow. Do not be afraid. Or make decisions based in fear. Do it all with confidence and with kindness and strength. Do call your mom and ask her for advice. And always do your best to remember that no matter what you do in this life,
thank you.
What matters to me is that you keep doing. I love you always. Mom. Inspire kids to do at 4-H.org.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti, and we start with a late claim from Hamas, reported by the Reuters news agency, that Israel's heavy bombardment of the Gaza Strip has killed 13 of their hostages, including foreigners. This as Israel warns the residents of Gaza City to move and move fast for their own safety, saying Israeli forces will be operating there soon.
I'm CBS News UN correspondent Pamela Falk. Israel's military told 1.1 million people living in northern Gaza that they must evacuate to the south in the next 24 hours. The notice was given to the UN Humanitarian Affairs Division and the UN's Department of Safety and Security in Gaza and includes the entire population, including UN staff and UN schools and health centers.
The UN says this is not doable, moving a million people in a day. It asks Israel to pull the warning. Hamas calls the warning fake propaganda and urges Gaza residents to ignore it. The Palestinian Red Crescent is already stretched.
Ongoing bombardments all over the time. Nobody can even imagine.